Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Phil Hunt. I'm the new University Registrar. Pleased to be here in Fargo and at NDSU. I will say, it's one heck of a time to get started, but I'm very, very confident that we'll be able to get through this together. I know that it's been a challenge for a lot of folks as we moved into some uncharted territory. So please know that while COVID is giving us some things to consider, that we're going to do everything that we can to best assist you and our students as we are allowed and permitted to do so. So just going to go ahead and get started. I don't have a lot. I just want to kind of lay out the framework of what we've been doing in terms of classroom scheduling, and really just to open the floor up to ask any questions that you may all have or address any concerns. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to get started here. So as I'm sure that you've heard on some of the prior communications, my office, through the request of the president and provost, we've been asked to explore the possibility and impact of moving our classes to 50% capacity. Why? Because the administration wants to make sure that the faculty feel safe in the classroom and that they heard your concerns. So what does this mean? Know that we are not placing a 50% seat cap on your sections. What we are doing within our office is we are merely finding spaces that can accommodate your full section size while only using 50% of the classroom space. So for example, if you have a section that's capped at 100, what we had to do is we went ahead and we programmed our scheduling optimizer to look for a space that can minimally fit 200 or more students. Okay, so about a week or two ago, my team and I began running scenarios and looking at classroom space utilization. And I'm happy to report that of the 4,200 sections that we offer here at NDSU, we were able to find rooms without conflicts for 98% of them, which is phenomenal. This means that of all of your sections, for all of your sections, minus the folks that we've already started reaching out to and speaking with, you have a room, you have a time, and you have a space on the same day and time that you previously did. The only difference is the space may be different. And that's really my update. And so I want to kind of answer any questions that you have. So I'm going to go ahead and open the floor. And I think who's moderating for me today? Christy, you're moderating. So let's just go ahead and get started.
One of the questions was, shouldn't we be working around a recommended 6-foot distance, not class occupancy? If you can address that question, that was kind of the
Yeah, sure. Happy to address that. This was a conversation that I had addressed with a couple of different groups. I know I spoke about it earlier on when I got here with the chairs and the deans. Ran through a couple of different scenarios looking at our data. And that was 6 foot, 75% capacity, 65, 50, and 55. Based on 6 foot in our current class and space inventory, that would mean let's take chemistry, for instance, that has 391 students. For us to accomplish 6 foot social distancing, that meant we would have had to add 7 more sections just to make up for that one. And so because of that, that took the 6 foot off the table, mainly because we don't have the capacity to do it. And additionally, the governor's guidelines had come out stating, that we were in green and that it was permissible for us to go 75. But once again, looking to do what we think is best for faculty and the students, we wanted to go with 50 because we felt that that's what we could still do.
A couple of people have asked, when will they find out their room assignments, or are they in Campus Connection yet?
Yeah, so they're not yet in Campus Connection. We're still running tests just because we want to make sure that we get this correct. We hope to have that, I would say, hopefully in a few days. There are just a couple of scheduling conflicts that we need to kind of tweak, and we're still looking at adding some additional space inventory so we have more options to spread people out.
All right, and then
let me add this. And as soon as we go and we run that report and everything is live, a notification will be sent out to the faculty.
Okay, and then there's a question of how students will be notified of that.
Same thing. A notification will be sent out to students letting them know that an update has been made and that to check their schedules to see where their new room assignments are.
Okay, and are downtown buildings included in that same approach?
Right now, yes. Yes, they are. We are running into some constraints with Barry Hall, but we're working with those departments that are currently in Barry right now. And then we're also exploring additional options for space downtown.
Okay. There's a question, will scale-up classes find themselves in an auditorium, or will they remain in like the scale-up style?
I'm not sure what you mean by scale-up.
Can I speak to that?
Yes, please.
Yeah, and it is my question. So the scale-up would be the rooms that are in the AG Hill Center, which has tables of 9 seats around each table. The space in the room is probably at least twice the space of a similar classroom in terms of the number of seats per square meter. And so in my case, I have 99 seats and 73 students. And I'm hoping to be able to do that based on a 75% capacity and given the fact that the room is so large and spread out. Is that something that can be allowed or negotiated, or am I going to be required to either move that to offline or find some other venue to accommodate 73 students?
Yeah, so that's a great question. Great question. The rooms in the STEM building give us a lot of opportunity and a lot of flexibility, and we're actually able to accomplish better social distancing with more numbers in those classrooms. So we kind of had to take those out of our kind of template formula. And so those numbers will look a little different, but know that we were able to maximize capacity and space in a lot of those classrooms because of the spacing of the room. Because even as they stood pre-COVID, they weren't at full capacity, so to speak, because they're so large. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm muted. So the question, do you mean the classroom will change? For example, previous classroom was for 100 students. Now we will be offered a bigger room instead of separating 100 students into two rooms, each about 50?
Yeah, so that's the intent. We tried to move you into one larger room. And then if we can't find that one larger space, we still have the option of finding a space for you to teach concurrently by using HyFlex.
So then the question is, the new room assignment based on the classroom capacity with the waitlisted students?
It is not based on that. But here's what I would say to that. It depends on where your class is. So right now our caps are at 75%, right? And so if your wait list doesn't exceed the pre-COVID cap, which would bring you to 100%, it's gonna include that number. So yes, because once we go and we hit the go button on this, your caps are gonna go back up to 100% to where they were. And so we have adjusted for that.
Is there an official strategy for how we know what students want to be remote or what they'll need to go remote and which ones will be in person?
Well, that's been outside of my purview, so to speak. I know that there are some courses who the instructors were asked to go ahead and survey their faculty to get a sense of that. I'm not aware that there was any standardized policy that went out across the university to do that.
Okay. What if a class has special interaction needs? And that was a question from Bob Peary. I don't know if Bob can unmute and expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, Bob, would you mind?
Not at all, but sometimes okay. When I start talking, I can't remember to stop. Anyway.
That's why we have a moderator.
Oh, okay. One of the things is, like, I'm teaching an introductory freshman course, and Mark kind of addressed this too. I mean, we set up interactive classrooms. So the idea is that there'll be a group, they'll be working on some stuff, some in the classroom, some out of the classroom. And I've asked for Hill 126 because of the concrete floor, the movable chairs, all of this stuff. You can't put that kind of class into a Sudro classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I was asking.
Yeah. And so I'll have to take a look at what we did specifically, but it sounds like in speaking with our scheduler in here that yours would have not gone through the optimizer. So, but let's chat about
now
that.
Now you got 200 people mad at me.
No, it depends, right? It all depends on, we were still able to look at some specifications for how courses are taught based on what the physical requirements, not what was wanted, but what was actually needed to teach in that space.
Sure. I'm glad I see Bill Law there. I'm glad he's happy. He's probably not moving out of the music classrooms.
Right. But yeah, we can chat offline to make sure you're where you need to be.
Okay. That's great.
We've got another question kind of building off of that one. ID studio spaces have been adjusted to accommodate to address 50%. Will additional communication be made to students?
What is an ID space? Once again, I'm still learning, so forgive me for not understanding all of the vernacular.
Interior design?
Yes, that's interior design. And the spaces are now fixed to accommodate the students. My concern is we've already talked to students. I know who's going to be here, who's not going to be here, and we actually have a rotation fixed up because that, my understanding is we have been told because we're interior design spaces that we can adjust because we have specific spaces that are program spaces. Nobody else is in those spaces.
Yes.
So my concern is I don't want the students like getting different messages from all over the different places and then they're going to all be in an uproar.
No, and they won't. And what's still in place is what was always been in place since the beginning. And that is for those labs and specialty spaces like studios, you can still have your students rotating in at 50%.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. It's a great question.
I have a couple classes about computer labs and what the plans are for those.
And my understanding is that computer labs are the same way, right? And so in order to achieve that space, and because it's such a specialized space, you can still rotate your students in and out.
So a couple of questions, the room assignment and campus connection is currently not correct. And we won't really know if they're staying in current rooms until we see updates. Is that correct?
Where is that question at? Who asked that question? So I can read it.
It was a little while ago. I think one was from Carrie Ann Platt and another was Ronald Day.
Well, let me say this, the information that you're seeing in Campus Connection so far as far as your enrollment numbers, that information is correct. The only information that would not be correct right now would be where your class will be located once we hit the book the go button.
Will faculty be given a chance to agree with the change or will it be mandated that we move to the newly assigned space?
Well, how do you want to define agree? we are moving spaces and we're going through this process to find the best optimal space to accomplish the task at hand, which is 50%, right? If the space doesn't meet your need, then yes, we can have a conversation about that and see if there's another space that's available to that may potentially meet your need.
The only reason I ask is just because I'm only over by a handful of students when it comes to the 50%. And I know an 8 a.m. freshman lecture, mm-hmm. there's gonna be lots of students who don't come each day.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't know if I wanna end up in a giant room when I have a room that might fit who comes on an actual day-to-day basis. That's the only reason I ask. Thank you.
Great question. Yeah, and once again, we can take a look at where you are to see, to look at the space and see if there's any leeway there? And also that's the other big unknown, right? We don't know how many students may opt just to say on any given day, hey, you know, I'm going to stay in my dorm room and watch class from here. But I'm glad you're thinking about that. And we can definitely take a look at that if you'd like to.
A question, can instructors limit the number of students per class?
You can, but here's the thing that I'd be concerned about. One is, how are you planning on accommodating those students that need that course, right? And so, you know, if you know normally that in your given section that you normally have 300 students that take that course, and that's been pretty consistent over the last couple of years, especially if it's a first year course, how are you going to accommodate for that? And we're not going to be limiting students. So if you already have, you know, 100 students enrolled, we can't just kick them out of a class.
Can I say something? It was my question.
Yes, please.
Yeah, thank you. I'm teaching a large class with 6 sections of labs. Labs supposed to have, like, in each lab, we're supposed to have 16 students. Now, based on new rules and capacity, I'm thinking about maybe half of that. Now, what I'm planning is, like, having teams, students working in team, and, like, every week asking one student from one team is allowed to come and see the lab work and have a hands-on experience and maybe take reports for other students. I'm planning for this, but I'm afraid that at the end of the semester, I receive some like feedbacks. Oh, professors kicked us out of class, didn't allow us to participate, and those kind of things.
No, and with a lab class, you're allowed to do that. So you're on good ground there. You're able to make that adjustment. So yes, thank you for clarifying.
Thank you.
All right. There's a question. How is the building circulation illustrated for, like, in and out around rooms and corridors? And I'm not sure if that's something that is in your wheelhouse or if that's a Mike Ellingson question.
It's not. That's a Mike Ellingson question.
I know Mike is on. I'm not sure if Mike's able to answer that one. I think the other day that one came up.
I'm on. What we're doing in some of our buildings, if there's 2 sets of doors into a classroom, then we're doing an exit on one and an enter on the other. But on a lot of the classrooms where there's only one door, then it's you don't have any choice but to enter and exit at the same spot.
I heard we might be getting maps of our classroom seating to help create seating charts. Are these maps coming from registration and records, or how do we get these maps?
Mike, have we determined how we're doing that? I thought we were posting them somewhere.
The department heads and deans and their assistants will have access to them, and I'll be sending an email about the seating charts and our involvement in contact tracing as soon as I iron out a couple more details. Right now, the seating charts show the existing arrangement of seating, and I think Mike talked last week about in some rooms, facilities can remove chairs to limit seating, and other rooms are going to cover like auditorium-style seating to indicate where students can sit. But then I think in some rooms that house different sizes of classes, marking may be a little more challenging. But if I'm speaking for Mike, and he could probably speak for himself, so.
I'll jump in, Margaret. The plans that are currently out there show the existing room as is, and then the thought was, you know, you could have people sit every other seat or whatnot. That what's changed in the last week to week and a half is now we're fitting up some non-traditional classroom like in the great room or the plain room of the Memorial Union or the lower level of the library or different places. So now I'm having to find furniture, and I'm going into some of these classrooms that have extra furniture and taking them out and relocating them, which is going to change the room arrangement that we previously have out there. So our drafter will have to be creating some new classroom layouts based on that.
Thank you, Margaret. Thank you, Mike.
Here's a question, kind of talking about some of those non-traditional classrooms. Someone had a question. There's talk of moving classes to the shack. What will be done for extra time it would take for students to get to between class if that option is used?
Well, we're still exploring those situations and where students may need extra time. And so that's still a TBD for us.
Okay, and then another similar question is, should instructors plan shorter classes so there's enough time for students to enter and exit rooms and buildings between classes?
I think this was addressed previously in one of Margaret's calls where she answered that. And Margaret, I don't mean to speak for you, but did you mention that some of that was instructor discretion?
I'm trying to remember which session that was, but yeah, it may be if you're in a very large room that has one door, you may want to control the exit of your class, go by rows or some strategy like that. We haven't really talked about altering the class schedule for the entire university because we're not sure yet how many classes are going to be in more remote spaces like the shack or the Cater Hall multi-purpose room. When we have a better handle on that, we'll take a look at how many students might be affected and what we need to do with scheduling. Did that address your question?
I'm not sure who asked that question.
Yeah, I asked it. It did. Thanks, Margaret.
Another question, should we start letting in waitlisted students now so they can be accounted for in those in the capacity numbers?
You can, but they already are. We're watching those wait lists so we can accommodate them.
A question, can you give us an idea when you expect to hit the button and have the new room assignments come out, like end of the week, or what are you thinking on that?
Well, if it were up to me, I would have hit it a few days ago, but we're still gathering room inventory. And with that means we have to put some of the specifications into our optimizer. There's a process for us to do that and then rerun as new space becomes identified. So trust me, I want to get this locked, sealed, and delivered to everybody as much as you guys want to get it done. So I'm pushing to get this done, but at the same time, being mindful that we get it right and we make informed decisions on what we're doing. And as information comes up that may impact certain departments, be sure that we'll be reaching out to you, as we've already started reaching out to some of them.
The question, you mentioned classes would go back to their original class size once a new room has been found. Some of our classes have been reduced to 65 to 75% of room capacity. Does that mean they'll go back to their pre-COVID enrollment size? So in this case, it was from 90 to 135.
Yeah, and that's the plan. That's the plan primarily for those first year freshman lecture courses, because we've got to get students in those classes because they need them to continue to progress. Now, if there are issues with those, as you guys are hearing this and we're having this communication, please reach out to me and let me know so we can figure out an alternative for how to address that. I just know that last week, with the 75% cap on some of those large freshman courses, we had to go in and manually adjust them back to their pre-COVID capacity caps because students weren't able to get in and get the courses that they needed. And that would definitely, as you know, impact them as they progress from semester to semester.
Is the enrollment cap column in the course enrollment section status report currently based on 75%?
Yes.
This is a question. My class has a pre-COVID cap of 100 in a room for 103. When I checked today, the cap has been changed to the current enrollment with the waitlist turned on. Does this mean there was not a room available, so I'm capped until a room is found?
No, that's not what that means. I'm not sure. I'll have to take a look at that, but we didn't make any additional adjustments more than what I've already articulated to you to the section schedule.
Okay. Any suggestion to students if they need to commute to different locations from class to class? Are they required to do the social distance in the buses?
That's outside of my wheelhouse at the moment. That's more of a question for either facilities or student affairs. Unfortunately,
I'll help you out, Philip. This is Mike again. Matt Bus is not our buses, but through the city of Fargo, they do require face coverings when you enter onto a bus. I don't think there's going to be a 6-foot distancing, but that's why they're requiring face coverings.
Okay. Thank you, Mike.
There's another question about numbers for a class. So someone says we have a few CJ courses. I'm thinking that's criminal justice courses that have enrollments above the classroom capacity. So for example, one course has 96 registered students, but the classroom capacity is 89. How do we deal with the overage of students?
Well, that's a course that's going to be moved. If your pre-COVID cap was at that, you know, we need to, once again, we need to make sure that we accomplish social distancing. So if the room is not big enough to accomplish that, then your room will be changed.
Okay. Typically, students on wait lists are told to attend the first week. Working to enroll students, many first year, the only option is to get on multiple wait lists. What would you suggest these students do?
Well, we are accommodating for students in the wait list as long as it doesn't go over the pre-enrollment cap. So yes, show up to class.
If we are moved to a remote site like the Shack or Fargo Dome, will there be prioritized or reserved parking for instructors? Will they need revised parking permits?
Mike, I'm going to toss that one to you.
Glad I was on and help you there. We're working on the details on the parking as we speak right now.
And at this time, we're not really looking at the Fargo Dome unless something changes, but we're trying to stay within a tighter radius if possible.
Okay. Is there any requirement to report to your office if the class goes remote due to a 10 to 14 day quarantine?
No, there's not. Because I assume at that point you're just going to be exercising your high flex option and there's nothing that you need to do with us.
And I think if you are supposed to be in quarantine, you shouldn't be in your office, right? Should you be home if you're supposed to be in quarantine? Margaret's saying yes. Okay. This one is the little surveying. I'm not sure if this is a question. So whoever drop this one in. I'm wondering if you want to expand. The surveying that's been done indicates maybe 75% of students want face-to-face. Should we presume that a certain percent want remote? Or are we concerned about that as we're looking at these numbers?
I think the students, and you know, clearly Margaret, jump in here where you like, but my opinion is this, is that the students who want to use HyFlex will do it. And that's why that option has presented itself. And so if that's what they want to do, that's why the institution set it up in that manner to give students the option to either come in class or to use the HyFlex. And so they have that option anytime they want to use it. And so what we need to accommodate for, at least, you know, from my standpoint and as a registrar, we need to accommodate for those students who want to physically be in class. And the best way for us to understand that is right now, without there being a huge survey for each class, is to look at what our historical numbers have been and prepare for that amount of students to be in the classroom.
Okay. So another one, the signs on the entrance to music are enter on the left and exit on the right. Does this accommodate students from countries which drive on the left? That was a Mark, who was that?
Well, just
it
was, in.
It's tongue in cheek. It just seemed so wrong. I mean, students are going to behave the way Americans behave. We drive on the left, you know, we enter on the left. So I just don't understand the logic behind that particular signage.
I'm going to toss that one to Mike, Mark.
Yeah, and we're going to have to reevaluate that because there's going to be a variety of buildings on campus that people will have to enter on the left and exit on the left, because a lot of our doors on every building, we have power door operators. So somebody in a wheelchair or somebody that is on crutches or somebody that doesn't want to touch a door handle, in order to get the door to open, it's only one set of doors and it's on the same side. So they're going to have to enter and exit. So it is going to be a little confusing if we start putting signage on those doors that says enter when the people on the other side are going to be exiting. So I want us to use a little word of caution on those exterior doors because of that.
All right. This one is a question designated probably for Margaret. We're trying to hire PTAs for classes. Even if they arrive by this Friday, they need to quarantine for 14 days and can't even be employed until after classes start. HR requires a face-to-face visit to start their employment. They need to have access to NDSU email and Blackboard, and this is creating a big challenge.
Let me visit with HR about that and see if we can figure out a workaround so they could get started remotely on their jobs. Is that Greg Cook who asked that?
Yeah. Yep.
We can get them access to services early as well. We just need them set up in HR, even if they haven't actually started yet.
And Margaret, are these PTAs students or professionals? The reason I ask is there was that change to the quarantine policy. And so I know for international students, if they get a COVID test and can produce a negative result within 48 hours, they're not required to quarantine. But I don't know if it applies to professionals. Okay, I just see Craig saying professional, but we could check into that.
Hey, this is John in HR. So I think that's, they mostly go through our payroll division. And I think I heard Sheila last week talking about this, so I can try and get an update and provide some feedback. I know we're aware of it. So.
Thank you, John.
Question about moving from the current 75% capacity to a 50% capacity will cause some specialized sections or labs, and they use music as an example, to be overloaded. May they contact Kim or someone else in your office to try to work out an alternative to moving to what would be problematic to a different classroom?
As always, we're here to try to help you in the best way that we can. So yes.
As far as I can tell, I think I've made it through all of the chat questions unless I missed one. So if anyone feels I missed one, either repost it or unmute yourself and ask it.
While that's happening, I just want to take this opportunity to thank Mike Ellingson and his facilities teams for the work that they've done. I've been on multiple 3-hour tours of facilities over the last couple of weeks trying to get a good understanding of what our space looks like, our inventory. And I tell you what, you know, not only are there clearly some great people on this campus, but, you know, there's a lot of opportunity here with what we have going on and some of the specialized classrooms, the spaces, and the great work that the departments and the faculty are doing in which you're teaching. So I'm looking forward to seeing the university in action in the fall. And I also want to give a special thank you out to the staff, facility staff, and the student union as well, since we're going to be, it was kind of last minute for us to start looking at those spaces to offer some classrooms in. So I just want to to publicly recognize those folks, because it's been no easy task in trying to coordinate everything. So thank you.
We have a question about who the new space person is in registration and records. Who's responsible for the, I think it's in that office, right? Shannon asked that question.
New space person.
Facilities management has a space coordinator. Her name is Karen Hansen.
Thank you, Mike. Question, can you elaborate a little bit about options for downtown buildings and things that you're considering?
Well, this is pretty much hot off the press. Margaret, you probably have a little more detail than I do.
I was going to say it's so hot. I don't think the facility even knows that we're looking at them. But I think President Bresciani is going to talk with the Plains Art Museum and see if we might be able to use some of like their larger space on third floor. But again, this is very premature because I don't know if he's talked to them. We're really struggling. That business or there are about 37 bottlenecks within Berry Hall. Most of them are in business. And to get those students up to main campus, given their schedules and transportation, is challenging. So if we can find a place downtown that's workable, we'll try to do that. And please don't call the Plains Art Museum and talk about us moving in there yet. They will be very surprised. I think he's going to try to visit with them today, however.
Okay, so we'll give a couple more, a minute or so, to see if anybody else has any last minute questions. But if there's something that you think of, you know, after we end this session, please, please, please pick up the phone, shoot me an email. If you need us to walk you through kind of what things are looking like for your course, for your department, more than happy to do that. You know, this is a work in progress. And as I mentioned before, we'll get through this together. And I just want to make sure that I'm aware of the things that I don't know, right? So the only way for me to know that is to sit down with you if there's something that comes up.
Couple questions just popped up. Do we know how many of our students and faculty self-identify as wanting to learn or teach remote?
We know which of our faculty are planning to teach remotely and have a schedule that we'll release to advisors in the near future in case students are asking questions about whether a faculty member will be physically in the classroom or not. A lot of those faculty will be high flexing into their class. As far as students, I don't think that we do have a handle on how many will high flex, how many will be face to face. And it'll probably change throughout the semester as well. As they get a little more comfortable with the high flex, we might see more of them pursuing that option. We've still been hearing that our students are excited about face-to-face, are excited about getting back to campus. You know, knock on wood that our enrollment numbers are good. So we'll see what happens.
There's a question about, will NDSU be notified of tri-college students that test positive?
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, that is a great question. I am in close contact with the other VPs for student affairs at those campuses, and that is one thing we have not discussed. So I will put that on my list to follow up on.
Another question for Margaret. If we have a class that requires an overflow second classroom, could we instead have half the students come one day and the other half another day? The other half on a given day would remote in individually, preferring something like that over having a separate classroom remoting in.
We've been allowing lab and studio sections and other experiential learning type classrooms to do that type of rotation where some of the students come one day and some come another day, just simply because of the space restrictions in a lot of our buildings. We've been reluctant to let other types of classes be scheduled that way because we do have students that want to be face-to-face every day that the class meets. So we're trying to figure it out to be able to accommodate those students that do want to be face-to-face, and we're trying to do it by finding one larger classroom that works. Now, if we find we can't get there, we'll look at some other options, but we're still trying to accommodate through larger classroom spaces.
Okay. Any more before we end the session? All right, well, it was a pleasure to see some faces that I know and then some new ones on here. And I'm looking forward to getting to know all of you over time. And thank you in advance for your patience, for your understanding, as I kind of get my feet wet and hands dirty here on campus. So looking forward to it. In the meantime, please reach out if you have any questions. Okay, take care.